This is a poem of my own, The Ballad of RTM.
Gerald, side one of the record is you reciting a 1,600-word palindrome, mostly written in the back room of a news agency. Now, you've said it was an apt task at the time. What got you started on this project?
I saw in a magazine called Pataphysics a 6,000-word palindrome. Although I didn't really read it through at the time, I looked into it. It had a title that I could almost say haunted me. A Gassy Obese Boy's Saga. A Gassy Obese Boy's Saga. And, of course, the title itself is a palindrome. So that title reads the same backwards and forwards. Whenever I've been inspired or driven to do something, the inspiration or drive hasn't always come suddenly. It takes days or weeks or months even to work on me. And this palindrome took a while. I'd never really challenged myself technically. All my writing had been done just in an effort to express what was haunting me or driving me. And the process of writing a palindrome was exactly the opposite. There was nothing to write about. I had no body of subject matter pressing on me. All I had was the technical procedure.
And Gerald, there is a playfulness to your palindrome. I mean, some people will associate your work with a certain seriousness, but this has got a life and a jauntiness to it.
Oh, look, if there was a choice at some point of slightly salacious or coarse or vulgar form of words, I always chose the vulgarity or the coarseness. That was part of the fun of the thing.
Gerald, could we hear just a little bit of your palindrome?
Well, you certainly can. Here's one of my favourite passages, and the Midas, mentioned as King Midas of the legend. Midas's paws turned logs, dogs, pisspots, tarts, even Erica, in a moment, to gold. Here's another one. Nostradamus, so pallid, foresaw Nell, opera, radio, Vaseline, 7 Epsom derbies. The reverse of those doesn't sound half so impressive. It comes in the earlier part. This would be an example. You rode hoop. Dennis axes rot. Arpola, eh? Pets a few. Ape sons nil. Bog no recluse sops. Idle. It makes sense that the lesser parts, the less impressive parts, make sense.
Yes.
But they're the reverse of the very impressive parts. So the title of the palindrome is Do Good, Dog God, Do O God. And I tried hard and got a few mentions of idols and dogs and ogres and that sort of stuff in the palindrome. But by and large, it doesn't tell any sort of story.
No. You're listening to Gerald Munnane talk about a 1,600-word palindrome that he's written that's been recorded by musician Chris Gregory. Gerald, on the other side of the record, there are some poems, there are some lyrics, there's some Thomas Hardy poems, and there's a one that I particularly liked called Knuckles the Dog, where you get the giggles in the middle, and it's quite revealing. It's quite a wonderful moment.
Well, I have never had much time in my adult life, never had the time, literally, to take an interest in popular culture. The words of Knuckles the Dog were completely unknown to me. So as I was reading it for Chris Gregory to record, I didn't know what was coming next. And when I saw this particular line, it just made me chuckle. And I expected Chris to take the chuckle out, but he left it in.
Knuckles goes to the nursing home to visit the elderly, abandoned by their own children. Knuckles lifts them from their misery. Knuckles the dog, what a very good dog you are. You're the best dog of all the other dogs by far. Knuckles the dog won't hunt, he whispers. Knuckles the... I composed myself.
Gerald, I mentioned in my introduction that you've had a number of nominations for the Nobel Prize. What sort of pressure does that put a writer under?
I don't feel pressure because I don't expect to win, but it is an honour. I'm a racing man, a horse racing man, and I love the idea of people or animals being ranked in order and having betting odds placed beside their names. It's certainly an honour to be among the half dozen Australians to be nominated.
So Les Murray said that there's a degree of shonk about most of us, but not him, and he was referring to you.
He was, yes. And the thing is, I've never met Les Murray and probably never will, but I've never forgotten that that very, I find it almost a moving tribute to my honesty or to my dedication, sincerity, whatever.
Gerald, you mentioned horse racing before. Your 2015 book, Something for the Pain, A Memoir of the Turf, is inspired by your love of horse racing. There's a great quote that says, "I'd find in horse racing more than I'd find in any religion or philosophical system." Has it been a lifelong passion?
Yes. It hasn't harmed me in any way. Some people might say it's taken up an inordinate amount of my time, but I haven't begrudged that time, and I've managed to write what I've written in my other time. It can't be explained. My brother and I have a brother who's only a year younger than me. My brother and I were exposed in exactly the same way to horse racing. My father trained a horse in the backyard in Bendigo in 1946. The same horse racing pictures from the old Sporting Globe were lying around the house for my brother and me to see. He would not cross the road to see a Melbourne Cup, and I have lived with the images of horse racing in my mind all my life. I used to think that because I was exposed to it early on, I naturally took it up, but obviously not, because my brother had the same exposure and he's not interested in it. Something in my nature was crying out for something like horse racing.
And you've said that in the mounting yard, anything is possible.
I love the word potentiality. I can't understand philosophy, but the only thing I studied, a bit of philosophy and a bit of Arab philosophy at university, and the only word that made any sense to me, or the only concept, was that of potentiality. Things can exist in potentiality, and the results of horse races are my favourite example of that.
Of course, and did I read once that you can actually memorise Melbourne Cup winners and their colours?
It's fun. People think it's taken a great deal of effort, but I know the name of every Melbourne Cup winner, the surname of every jockey and trainer, and also the colour carried by the jockey.
Well, that is remarkable. Could I throw a couple at you?
By all means.
So I'll give you the year. Let's start reasonably recent, say 1999.
1999, the winner was Rogan Josh. It was trained by Bart Cummings, written by John Marshall, and it carried the colours aqua and white hoops.
1982
was Gurner's Lane, written by Mick Dittman from Queensland, trained by Jeff Murphy from Caulfield, and it carried the colours dark blue, gold armbands and cap.
Oh, my Lord. Gerald Manane, that's incredible. Last one, 1963.
63 was Gattam Gattam from South Australia. Its colours were all gold. It was owned by the Reed family, but there was another horse in the race with colours all yellow, so they put a red cap on Gattam Gattam. The rider was Jim Johnson. Sorry.
Oh.
The trainer was Graham Hegney. I nearly forgot.
Gerald, it's been such a delight speaking to you. I'd like to finish with one of the pieces on the record. It's a poem that you've written. It's called The Ballad of RTM. Now, I believe this is a poem that will be from a collection you're publishing next year.
It's a collection of about 40 to 50 poems. The title of the book will be Green Shadows and Other Poems by Gerald Manane, and I'm looking forward to the publication of that probably more than I've looked forward to the publication of any previous work of mine. I'm really excited by the poems that I've put together. So the RTM is my original Thomas Manane, my father. I have an ambivalent attitude towards my father, who died when I was only 21, and it surely comes through in the ballad.
Ridge was born in a dairying district with a languid Hopkins.